Praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
If we can begin the word today with turning to the book of John chapter 10, and we're looking at more of the enemy's weapons, and what we have today is stealing, killing, and destroying. I know that doesn't sound very positive, but we can overcome it. It's just the way he is. And Jesus even warned in John that this is what he was like. And you know, the thing is, when we see these activities going on, when we see this kind of thing happening, amen, we know that we can say that's the devil doing that. Okay, there's things that you don't blame God for. There, you know, people say, oh, God did this, God did that, you know. Yes, God does have judgment. There's justice that he metes out. But God is not a thief.
No, he's not.
Amen?
No.
He's not a thief. We're just beginning here.
Okay.
Amen. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Amen.
Amen. So, there are thieves and there are robbers
in
the sheepfold.
Right. Right.
And they got in by not going through the door.
Right.
All right. So, what about the door? Amen. Jesus said, verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Amen. Amen.
So, in other words, if you get in by any other way than Jesus Christ, you're a thief. Now, there are ministries that are in churches who never came through Jesus Christ. They're not born again. And what happens when they make denominations, they make a system, they make an organization that now they have to keep the machine running. It's a machine. You have to keep oiling the machine, you have to keep feeding it fuel and all that. And now a man dies or leaves or whatever, well, we've got to fill that position. Okay? And so they take these fellows that go to college, and they've been trained properly. Listen, I tell you, you would not believe what comes out of these. I have a friend, I won't say who it is, not a very good friend. If we speak, it's about once in 10 years at a funeral or something. And I can't believe, he went through a seminary, and he's living a vile lifestyle. And I cannot understand it. And I said to him, I said, did you hear all this stuff in the Christian college seminary that you went to? Well, they said this, they said that, they said, you know. I said, come on, you're changing the Word of God.
Yeah.
You're making your own God out of it.
Right.
And so these people are becoming pastors of some of the churches. You know, one of the biggest, I don't know how true this statement is, but I heard one of the biggest Pentecostal denominations in the U.S. has got pastors who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, I won't say they're not born again, but they're not all being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That is the basis of what makes them different from Baptists. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, you want to have an outer court church? Fine, you have an outer court church. But I believe that God has ordained more than that for the house of God. Jesus said, if you don't come in by the door, you're a thief and a robber. Now, what does it mean to come in through the door? Jesus said, I am the door. All right? That means you come through Christ. What does it say? How do you come through Christ? Is he going to open the door for you? No, he's not going to open the door for you. He is the door.
Amen.
Then you say, well, how can I come through a door? The door is shut. No, it isn't. You come through
Christ.
Him. He is the door.
Amen.
And can you understand that?
Yep.
You know, when I was working in big organizations, Hospitals are big organizations, by the way. And I would say, or somebody would say to somebody else, well, why don't we do thus and thus? Wouldn't it be a good idea to have this as a policy or this as a benefit for the employees or something like that? And the answer would be, well, you're not going to get that done unless you go through Mr. Big. You know, the big chief. The head man, the president, the administrator. You got to go through him. Now that means that you have to come to the requirements that he meets. Now you come to him, he's probably going to say, well, you're going to have to go through the board of directors.
Right.
Still, you have to go through something that sets standards. And Jesus is the standard of God. He is God. So you're going to have to come through God if you want to be in the house of God. Amen? I like that. I'm glad he's the door.
Amen.
He's the gate. He's the door. He's all these things. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, now we come down to verse 10. Well, let's just read from 7 down. Okay, we read, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. You see, sheep hear shepherd. Sheep are attached to shepherd. They know shepherd. It's just like the son knows the father.
Right.
Okay? I am the door.
Yeah.
By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You see, he's not going to keep you locked in.
No.
He says, you're going to come in, you're going to go out, you're going to come in, you're going to go out. Every time you go out through me. Every time you come in through me. And so the same thing applies to who is sent out. There are people who are going out doing good works, but they're not sent by him.
Right.
Rita and I have been reading in Jeremiah. And throughout Jeremiah is prophesying to these false prophets that are in his time, and they're giving him a hard time. They're putting him in prison. They put him in a pit one time. They lock him up again. He has his scribe write the word of God. He's writing the book of Jeremiah. And the king gets a hold of this thing, and he's in his winter house, and there's a fireplace burning there. And the king has one of his scribes come in and read the book to him, and they get through, and he takes the scribe's knife and cuts off a page, throws it in the fireplace. Read another page, zip, cuts it off. And God said, you see, these are people that are not true servants of God. And Jeremiah is prophesying against these, and he says, you were not sent. So you have to be sent. You have to come in and go out by him, through him. Amen. The thief cometh, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now there's a description of the devil. When you see killing, when you see stealing, when you see destruction, God is not the author of it.
Amen.
When you see that kind of thing going against your life, when you see the enemy, when you see your resources being robbed from you. Amen. When you see your health being robbed from you, it is not God doing it.
Amen.
If it was God's hand, he'd tell you what it was all about. Amen. He'd say, listen, you better shape up. Amen. Or I'm gonna put the thumb on you until you obey me. God will tell you that. But this constant destroying and stealing, amen, it's from the devil. And you know, sometimes it's our own fault because of the way we live. Come on, I've been there. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Had my resources robbed and stolen.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out what was going wrong. Well, what was going wrong is I wasn't living right. Let's go back a while. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I found that when God is with you, you can live on so much less than you thought you needed to. My goodness, there was a time when I was making, I thought it was a lot of money. and I never had anything. Then I come to a place in my life where I have absolutely nothing. And as far as I'm concerned, I have all I need. You know, I mean, a prophet one time, I don't know the man, I've never seen him again, never saw him but once in my life, and he gave me a word. He said, son, take out a pencil and a paper, try to write it down, try to figure it out, but you're not going to be able to figure it out because God is going to meet your needs and you won't know how.
Amen.
You won't know how. You won't be able to do the math and figure it out because God is going to take care of it. Amen? I tell you, you can live that way and you can have enough to give into the house of God. But you're going to have to trust Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay. So, and then he finished by saying, to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come.
Amen.
That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. You see a lot of these little churches, Abundant Life Ministries, you know. And I know some of the brethren that have these churches. It's a good word, but you know what? It isn't all the word.
Yeah.
Living abundant life doesn't just mean driving the newest car, you know, and having the nicest home. There's more to abundant life than natural things.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's move on from there. All right, let's take another verse here. Acts chapter 20. And this is Paul. You've heard me time and time again using this chapter. This is a chapter that speaks of what true ministry really is, all right? And I can't touch on Acts 20 without at least saying it again. You've heard me before. Some of you wonder why I'm not a pastor. I'll tell you why. It's in this chapter. And then I'm going to go on from there. So it says in verse 17 of Acts 20, and from Miletus, this is Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Elders. It doesn't say he called the pastors. It doesn't say he called the bishops. He called the elders. Plural. Of the church. More than one. He didn't just call the head man. He didn't call the head man and all his assistants or all his associate pastors. He called the elders. Equal men. Okay? And then over here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Okay, now we go to 28. And now he is saying to these elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Flock.
Yes.
Flock?
Yes.
Sheep?
Yes.
Okay, the Greek word is, what is it? Poimion or something like that? Poimen, poimion, poimiano. I mean, it's one Greek word, and the one tense of the word means the sheep. Another one means the man that feeds the sheep, and the other word is the action of feeding the sheep. Okay? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. I could look up the word for you, but I'm not very good at Greek. And anyway, so he's saying, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which God hath made you overseers. Now that word overseer, if you go over to Titus and Timothy, they translate it as bishop. The word is episkopos. It's a Greek word. So why didn't they translate it here and say, over which God has made you bishops? Because that would be kind of awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You see, the translators of the King James Bible were still trying to preserve the hierarchy standard of the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church. There was Roman Catholic influence among those translators. So they therefore have to have bishops and pastors and this type of thing. The word is overseers, and it's a job given to elders. Amen? Elders means older, mature men. Okay? Men have a job to oversee the flock of God. And would to God that all men would be mature and wise and able to take the leadership in the house of God. All right. So, whom God has made you overseers to feed. There's that other word. It simply means the action of what shepherds do for sheep.
Right.
To feed the flock, amen, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased by his own, with his own blood.
Amen.
Okay? So, there's no mention here of pastors. But it's implied that it's shepherds, because it's sheep, it's not goats, it's not cows, it's not horses, it's sheep, and the action of shepherds is to shepherd sheep. Okay, so that's the job of overseers who are elders. The word elder is presbytery. Okay, so now one church took that and said, oh, we're Presbyterians. Another one took the Episcopus and said, well, we're Episcopalians. Come on. It's
out of control.
But I haven't heard of one that said we're Elderarians. So now, here's the verse I'm looking at. For I know this, that after my departing, Paul is an apostle. He has a very strong gift. He has a very powerful word, an apostolic message for the church. Brethren, we are preaching an apostolic message today.
Amen.
Today, I'm not an apostle as such. Insofar as fivefold gift. Now, insofar as being sent, that's the literal definition of apostle, one who is sent. Yes, we are sent out sometimes. Okay, we're not an apostle, but we are bringing an apostolic message that God has given to us in this time, in this season. Okay, it's a message for this hour, for this day. Paul was an apostle. He brought a message for his generation, his time. And he said, after I am gone, okay, he says, I know that grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Okay? So a wolf cannot be a shepherd. Amen? Now, there's word of wolves in sheep's clothing. What clothing is a sheep? Well, a sheep is wool. A sheep goes, bah, you know. But if there's a wolf in the flock, what's he going to do? He doesn't like to eat grass. He likes to eat sheep. So he's going to take advantage of the sheep. He's going to fleece the sheep. And by the way, isn't this what's going on with some of the television ministries? Yep. They're just fleecing the sheep.
Amen.
And to me, this is the definition of a wolf.
Right.
Eating the resources of sheep.
Right.
I tell you, it's tragic. Some of these guys are collecting thousands upon thousands of dollars from people that are poor who don't have the means to do so.
Taking the food off the table.
I've known some widows.
Yes.
Women alone have given $10,000. And get nothing from it. I've asked people, you get in trouble, your husband dies, whatever, are you going to call that guy down in Texas or Oklahoma? Is he going to come and minister to you and your house and your family? No, he's not. You're just sending your money out there. But they don't know you. Know those that labor among you. They don't know you.
Right.
You don't know them.
Right.
You just know what their television program shows you. All right, we're talking about stealing and wolves, okay? Malachi chapter 3. That's just before Matthew. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Who of you would want to rob God?
Oh, no.
Which of you would want to rob God? No, I wouldn't want to rob God either. Yet, ye have robbed me. See, robbing is the action of the enemy. So if the enemy gets into a man, he'll rob God.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say this. I gave to the Lord one time. Oh, I mean, I've done it many times. But I remember one particular time, and somebody was very upset at me for doing so. It wasn't a king's ransom, anything like that. It was just normal tithe giving that I was doing. Somebody was very upset. And they said, I am going to write to him and ask that everything that you've given be refunded and given to me because I'm in need.
Wow.
I said, if you do that, I don't want to be anywhere near you,
right?
Because I don't want to associate with you, because I would be robbing God if I even encouraged you to do such a thing.
Right.
So, will a man rob God? Let's read the thing. Yet ye have robbed me. This is God speaking. He says, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In other words, you have not given what belongs to God. You've kept it for yourself, is what the prophet is, what God is saying to a prophet. And he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I lived under a curse for a while because I never gave anything to God. I went for several years. I was discouraged about everything. I won't go into the details, but I began to drift away. My heart got hard toward God. And you know what? Nothing turned out right. Nothing was working right for me. I remember one particular thing. I had a pump in my basement. And it was a pump for pumping water into my house. No, it wasn't a sump pump. It was a regular water pump. And even though I went to church, my heart was not right.
Mm-hmm.
I was under a curse. I know I was. I would come home from church, and something, I don't know how it was, something would happen in that pump, that it was just pumping water into my basement. Just filling my basement with, I came home, there was a foot of water in my basement. I was so frustrated. I didn't know. I mean, I went outside by my pump, or by my well, and I just went, what is wrong?
A temper tantrum?
Oh yeah, I was having a tantrum.
Yeah, I've had them.
Could you believe that about me?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, there came a time. It was the goodness of God.
Right.
It wasn't a life or death thing. He showed his hand, a miracle. He healed a simple little thing on my little daughter. She wouldn't have died from it. She would have been healed eventually. But he did it just like that. Just like that, he did it. And I said, oh my God. I am never, ever going to turn from you again.
Amen.
You know what? That was 40 years ago.
Wow.
And I never again turn away from the Lord.
Amen.
It was just His goodness. And you know what? The curse was lifted.
Yeah. Because you repented.
I was healed of everything that I... Yeah, I was healed of things that I don't know how I was healed from them. Never bothered me again. Never, ever bothered me again.
Praise the Lord.
So here's the cure. And this is, it's not just the natural things. It's not just getting into your wallet,
right?
Or your purse.
Right.
As we have mostly purses here today. It's not just God wanting to get into your purse. He wants you. He wants all of you.
Right.
He wants your all of your life, your soul, your strength, what is it? Your might. Everything about you. He wants your totality of commitment. If you want to live in the Holy of Holies, brethren, that's the ticket. That's what you're going to have to pay to get in there. All of you. So, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Meat means what? Means food. Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Food. Food in my house. What kind of food is there in the house of God? Yeah. The food is the riches of the Word and the Spirit, the anointing of God in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. See, now, here's why I read this. The devourer, his purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. If you're not honoring God first, he says you're under a curse. And he says, if you get right with me, okay, and that includes your giving, then I will rebuke the devourer. Now, there have been times I have tried to go out and rebuke the devourer with my own words. And you know what? If there's a curse on something, my word is not sufficient to remove the curse. Did any of you ever grow a garden? Get out and try to grow things? Did you notice the curse of the weeds are always there?
No, not my garden.
No, not your garden.
I still got strawberries.
What are you spraying it with?
I have strawberries.
But there's still a curse around. Amen? And I heard one of these television evangelists say how he had the, you know, he could go out and he could command this and he could command that. So I went out in my garden and I, this is many years ago.
Cute.
I pull weeds.
That's
now. I went out there and I said, I rebuke you, you weeds. They kept growing. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to wait for you the day that you remove the curse of the earth. See, God put that curse
that
there at the time of Adam.
That would be so awesome.
And only God can remove it. He put it there,
yeah, I know.
And the day will come, it will be removed.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God, the fullness of the kingdom, the curse is going to be gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
So, this thing about your vine not casting her fruit before the time in the field. See, this is a spiritual principle. This is not just natural. This is a spiritual principle. That Satan would have the ability to interrupt the thing that you are called upon God to do and not allowed to have it prosper.
We are
all right.
The garden.
Amen. Yes, we are the garden of the Lord.
We have weeds in us.
Amen. So let us not rob God. Amen?
Amen?
And let us not give way to the devourer.
Yes.
That's his name, devourer. Eat it up so that you can't get any benefit from it. Now, speaking of the devourer, there's another fellow with a similar name called the destroyer.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Word of God. I want to take you to Exodus, the 12th chapter. And again, we want to identify where this thing came from. This thing comes from hell. Amen? The destroyer. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And this is the time of the Passover. Okay, this is the 12th plague. Okay, now you say, well, Didn't God come in and bring all this destruction on Egypt? Well, he allowed it. But I believe what God did, because of the curse that was on Egypt, he allowed these demonic things to come in and bring havoc to Egypt. Now, he tells quite specifically what the name of this thing is in the 10th plague, which is the death the thing that's going to bring death to the firstborn. Okay? And here he says, let me read several verses here. He's telling them, this month shall be the beginning of months, that's verse 2. It shall be the first month of the year. And then he tells them that they are to take a lamb, and that 14 days later they are to have the Passover. Am I right about that time? Okay, the 10th day they take the lamb. Okay, then over here verse 12, he says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. All right, so God is going to be, he's going to be there monitoring everything that's going on.
Yeah.
He's going to pass through the land of Egypt, okay? And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. In other words, God is the one that's released this thing.
Yeah.
So he's saying, yes, I'll take credit for it. I'm not the destroyer, but I'm going to bring some judgment on Egypt. And I'm going to allow one of the worst of devils to come in and do his business here. So he says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Amen. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So these plagues that God brought in were against all the gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. He's bringing judgment against the gods, false gods that did not belong in any recognition of being worshipped at all. Okay? Exodus 12:13, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses. So, for everything, for every stealing, killing, and destroying that the enemy has, we have, what's the medical word? Counteraction? Oh, what? I'm looking for a word. What's the matter with me? Losing some of my vocabulary.
It's on the screen too. I know, me too.
A countermeasure, but there's a better word than that. Come on, put on your medical hats. No, a prophylactic is a preventive. It's something that nullifies the thing that's been done. Well, prophylactic is a good word. Yes, he has a preventive too. But if you already get into trouble, he has the cure. I'll think of it. All right. Let's go on. The what?
The antidote.
That's it. That's it. God has the antidote.
Okay.
Amen?
Yes.
The antidote for acid is what? Alkaline.
Yeah.
Alkaline cures acid.
Right.
Acid fixes alkaline. I mean, it probably isn't a very good comparison, because in God, the antidote is much more powerful than the problem. It always deals with the problem. And the blood always deals with everything the enemy can ever throw at you.
Amen.
The blood. The blood prevails. Amen. I remember Sister Mavis so many times. The blood prevails.
Amen.
We're not just pleading the blood. Plead the blood, plead the blood. No, no, no. We are acknowledging the prevailing power of the blood of Jesus. Now, what he's telling them here is the blood is a token. Because it wasn't the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of a lamb. So the blood of the lamb was just a token. It was saying, all right, it's an IOU, and we're going to have to be paying IOUs now for several thousand years until the real thing comes. Okay? So I owe you $10,000. But every year, I'm going to have to write you an IOU. And I'm acknowledging every year when that note comes due, I'll say, Listen, I still owe you. I acknowledge that I owe you. I really don't have the means of paying the real debt, but I'll write an IOU for you again this year. In other words, I'm not forgetting about it, and you're not forgetting about it. You're not forgetting that I'm humankind, and I'm still living in sin, and I really haven't gotten out of our sinful ways. We need something else to pay you. And God comes and He gives us the means to pay it off, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So He says, this is a token.
Right.
You put that token blood, and I will honor the token.
Right.
I will honor the token.
Right.
You do it every year at Passover time. I will honor that token, and the destroyer will not come near you again. You renew it. You have to renew it all the time. You have to keep renewing it.
Right.
All right, so, and by the way, remember what the spies said to Rahab?
The red cord.
The scarlet thread. By the way, I think that was more than a little thread that you sew with. I think it was a rope. Really, I think it was. And I think it was the rope that the spies went down the wall with.
Right, right, right.
They took that rope and they climbed down the outside of the wall.
Right, red rope.
Yeah. But they said to Rahab, this scarlet will be a token. And when all the rest of Jericho was destroyed, her house on the wall, that was the only part of the wall that didn't go down, was where her house was.
Amen.
And it was a token of the blood. See, I'm talking about the destroyer now and the token that they had, but now we have the real thing, the real blood. Okay, so he says, and the blood shall be a token for you, verse 13, upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you. Now, he said, I will pass over you. Now, what does that mean? I believe that it says, I will, this is kind of an awkward word, I will cover you.
Right, protect you.
I will be an umbrella. I will be a shield for you.
Amen.
And the plague will not come near you.
Amen.
And this is what it says in Psalm 91.
Right.
This is what it says in Isaiah, come my people. It's Isaiah 20? 26:20. I got it reversed. Come my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the door, till the indignation be over and past. Amen? And in Psalm 91, it says, come under the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
Amen. And the plague will not come nigh thee.
Amen.
And the terror that flieth by night, it will not come near you. The plague will not come near you. Brethren, we are living in a generation where plagues are being released.
Right.
If you lived in Sierra Leone, if you lived in Liberia today, you would believe that it was the Great Tribulation. People are dying like flies. They say 4,000 now have died. They don't know how many have died. This is the ones they count in the cities.
Yeah.
The ones that they pick up on the street or that somebody reports. There are many more dying out there in these little villages that nobody knows about.
Right.
They had a picture of the man whose wife was the first victim in Guinea, I believe it was. And he's married another woman now. One of their children died. But you see, this thing was kept subdued for many years. This thing's been going on in Africa for a long time.
Right.
But why? Why does it break out now in a way that it never, ever did before? What has released this thing? I'm saying that it's a warning from God that we need to get under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to get under the covering of God. And there's only one way to do it. You don't do it by buying your way in. There's no money that can get you there. Amen. It's coming under total submission, total obedience to Jesus Christ. You're not going to find that protection in the outer court. You won't find it in the outer court church, brethren. You will not. You will not. It's not going to be there. The Word of God tells us very clearly in the 11th chapter of Revelation, the outer court has no protection.
No.
None. It's going to be destroyed.
Yes.
And that's not talking about some ancient old tabernacle of many, many. It's talking about spiritual language today.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And I will pass over you. I will cover you. And the plague. Plague. He called this death a plague.
Yeah.
And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now again, God is taking responsibility for what's being done, but He personally is not doing it. He's personally saying, I can shield you. But if you're not under the blood, I have no obligation to shield you. I will not guarantee you protection unless you do what I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You try any other way and you will not be protected.
Right.
You go out of the house. You go out of the house at 11:59, I can't protect you.
Right.
Even though you stayed there until 1 minute before midnight.
Right.
Now, I don't think, I'm exaggerating here by saying 1:59. I don't know when their midnight came. Midnight simply means the darkest hour. Therefore, you don't play with it. You know it's dark, you stay in the house. When I say stay in the house, I mean you stay in the house of God.
Amen.
You don't try to find another alternative. Amen. All right. So, in verse 23, then it says, For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. Now listen to this. And will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So he's naming it. He said, when I see the blood, see, God can be everywhere.
Yes.
The presence of God says, I will come to your house. When I see the blood, I will put my anointing there on that house. And when that destroyer comes through, he too will see that blood. He will see that anointing. It will be a bright, piercing thing that will blind them, and he'll have to pass away. He'll go somewhere else. And he'll destroy. I'm giving him permission to destroy anything in Egypt that does not have the blood on that house.
Right.
Firstborn.
Right.
You see, God puts a limit. He didn't say you can destroy every Egyptian. He didn't. He didn't say you can destroy the secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, fifthborn, or anything like that. He said, you will. I'm giving you leave to take the firstborn. You want a big meal? Here's the meal I'm going to give you. But you can't go beyond Egypt. You can't go to Ethiopia. You can't go to Libya. You can't go anywhere else but the boundary of Egypt. That's where you're going to have to stay. Isn't it amazing that God puts a leash on these mad dogs? He put a leash on them. Put a fence around them.
Mm-hmm.
Says, okay, you can do it right here. He did the same thing to Job.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't destroy Job.
Mm-hmm.
But God initiated the discussion with the devil.
Right.
Oh, have you noticed my servant Job?
Right.
He can take your... He's a great man. He can take your assault. You want to give him a test? Basically, that's what he would say. But you can't, the first time, you can't touch his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, you can touch his flesh,
mm-hmm.
but you can't kill him.
Right.
You see, the devil has to operate within the limits that God puts on him.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go beyond that.
No.
Now, when we come into the tribulation, he's going to have a lot of limits taken off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is why I see, as I see this Ebola thing, now it might be subdued again, I don't know. But what God is saying is, listen, I have been the one holding this thing back. And I've released it a little bit. Maybe I'm releasing it more. I don't know what His plans are. But He is sustaining all things.
Right.
And if he says it's time to release these plagues, then they'll be released.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this destroyer, let me take you to the book of Revelation. I don't think we're going to get through any other one than just this one here. Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. You remember this in Revelation? Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9 is the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet. And I think we're in the right place here. Chapter 9. And it's the fifth trumpet. I'm sorry, it's the fifth trumpet. Okay. And a star fell from heaven to earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. What's a star? What's a star? No, not a thing floating out there.
No, it's somebody.
It's a star is a man.
Right, it's a person.
Right.
Come
on, ask the sports people.
Right.
Who are their stars?
Right.
Michael this and Eric that, and they give you all their names. They know who the stars are. Ask Hollywood who their stars are.
Right.
They're people. They're big people. They're people probably making millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Ask the religious system who their stars are. They're on television. They've got big positions. They're known. Their names are known, recognized. They're stars.
Yeah.
Now, one of these stars is falling. Well, actually, lots of stars are falling.
Yeah.
The Bible says that stars are going to fall.
Right.
But here's one particular star, must have been a real big one, that falls. And he is given the key to the bottomless pit. What's the bottomless pit?
Hell.
The abyss. Hell. Now, you see, in hell, this creature, this devil named Destroyer has been locked up for a long time.
Right. Oh boy.
I don't know when he's ever been loosed except at the time of the Passover. We know he got loosed then. And this great star fell. Now, in order to fall, you have to be in God. Sports stars, they can't fall. They've never been with God anyway. Hollywood actors, actresses, they don't fall. They're up forever down there, unless they were really a great Christian before that. All right? So this has to be a mighty man of the church, a mighty man of religion,
right,
who once had a place in God, and now he's fallen from that place. Now, many of them are already fallen,
yeah,
but they're still carrying on their business. Okay? But here's one that falls, and he's given the key to the abyss. And the thing that shocks me so is he wasn't just given the key, he used it.
Mm-hmm.
He actually opened up hell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are many ways of opening up hell. And one is to bring in a lot of false doctrine.
Yeah.
It just lets loose a whole lot of demons into people's lives. Destroys a lot of Christians. I think this is what Paul was saying when he said, when I'm gone, wolves.
Yeah.
Now, they don't describe them as wolves, but they do the same thing. It says, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Earth is the carnal realm.
Right.
And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. You see, green means life.
Yeah.
Grass is life, but not very much life. Okay? Grass withers easily. You get a little bit of a drought, it's gone. There's no life in it. But it can come back.
It does.
Give a little water, it comes back.
It does.
Trees. You can hold water back from a tree for a month. He's still a tree. He's got his roots down in there. He's a strong Christian, a strong believer. All right, so they were not to hurt anything, any Christian of any kind, okay? only those men which do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. All right, so at this point, the sealing has already taken place.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So the sealing is those who are green. They have been sealed, some of them. Okay? And we'll go on down here to a little bit. It says how they were like scorpions and had power to hurt men for 5 months. Okay? And they have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, that word angel doesn't mean a heavenly angel. It just means their chief messenger was their king of hell. Now, I don't believe this was Satan. I believe it was another one like him. Because Satan, he isn't bound in the abyss. He runs around earth. Every time God encounters him, he says, well, where have you been? What have you been doing? And he says, oh, going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. So he's not locked in the bottomless pit, but this one is. This one must be a very, very evil creature. I remember hearing a brother tell me that he had, and he was a prophet that I give great regard to. He said that God took him and showed him some of these creatures that were just horrible creatures that have to be locked up. They have to be kept caged and locked in the abyss. Amen? Said that they had a king over them, an angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So whether you want to call him Greek or Hebrew, Abaddon or Apollyon, and the word Abaddon and Apollyon mean destroyer. Now if I knew Hebrew well enough, I could prove it. But they give the Hebrew word right here. And I believe if you go over to Exodus, you'll find that that was what his name was. Okay, oh my, we're not getting very far. Let me go over to 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians, I just want to give you some of these evidence here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Neither let us tempt... Am I in the right place here? Yes. Yeah. 1 Corinthians. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. That's the destroying. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So apparently the destroyer got a little reprieve also during the wilderness, because he came as in the form of serpents and he stung and killed many of those. What was their sin? They were complaining. Did you think that was a pretty bad sin? Complaining against God?
Oh, yeah.
Would it be better to complain against your brother?
No.
Probably not a good thing. I don't think God likes complaining at all.
Not at all.
He says they were destroyed by the destroyer.
Oh, yeah.
By the destroyer. Destroyed them. So, Isaiah chapter 14. Oh, you know what Isaiah chapter 14 is, don't you?
Isaiah what?
14. It's the story of how the devil fell from his place in heaven. Let me just read verses 15 through 17. This is his end. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Pit. Bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. Amen? The abyss.
Mm-hmm.
They that see thee shall narrowly look at thee. They're going to gaze at you with kind of an askant look. He's talking about the devil.
Mm-hmm.
One day you're going to look at him like a little worm,
yeah,
crawling on the ground, and you're going to say, he says, they will look at thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?
Mm-hmm.
That worm? We were afraid of him? I mean, how did he destroy our lives like he did? He's just a worm. He says, someday they're going to look down at you when you get thrown into the pit, and they're going to say, just him? Yeah, okay. And in verse 20, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Renowned. Which means named. Prepare slaughter for the children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. That's an end time prophecy there.
Yeah.
Now the last one I mentioned was Job, and I'll just read a verse or two of it, and then we'll bring it to a close. Let me just read in Job, the first chapter, just so you know I'm reading it from the Word of God and not quoting it on my own. The first chapter of Job, verse 11. And this is God giving instructions to Satan. He says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath. He will curse thee to thy face. This is the devil probing God to do it. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So he put a limit to what the devil could do. Amen. And so we see that if you read on down through the rest of that, of how it all happened. So again, this is the nature of Satan. He wants to destroy. God had no desire to destroy Job.
He loved Job.
He loved Job, right. Yeah, that's right. But he simply said to Satan, haven't you noticed my servant Job?
Because God knew his heart.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder if it's good to be noticed. But yes, it is good. It is good because we are going to be tried.
Yeah.
And it is the smith that God created, the smith that blows the coals. And that Satan thinks that in blowing the coals and heating up the fire, he thinks he can destroy us. But God would not let him heat the coals and be the smith unless he knew that he could use that fire to make you into an instrument that can fight the devil and destroy the devil. And brethren, we are going to destroy the devil. God has the power to destroy him.
Amen.
He could have destroyed him 2,000 years ago on the cross. He could have, just like that.
Right.
And I think Jesus wanted to do it. But I believe the Father said, no. No. The people, I'm going to give them overcoming power.
Right.
And they're going to overcome the devil. And I'm going to have those people with me. They are going to be part of my army, and together, let's wait for the saints of God. Let's wait for the overcomers. Let's wait for the First Fruits Company to come together, and we're going to go after him, and we're going to destroy him. I'm going to be the chief. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be riding out in front, but they're going with me, and we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
See, God wants us to be a partaker with him.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Awesome.
Great, great and mighty God.
Amen.
Why we worship him. Amen. Well, God bless you.
Awesome, God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.